Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk number 54.
54. I can finally spell it with my hands again.
Yeah, it's, you know, like 54. I thought we'd stop. We were going to get like a little scoreboard for this.
Yeah, 54. Yeah, after I couldn't do it anymore. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we've got lots to talk about tonight. Georgia has his tech update. We're going to talk about checking your settings. Because, boy, do we get lots of interesting phone calls and emails from people who are like, it sounds like this. We'll talk about that. And, of course, we'll take your questions from Facebook, from YouTube, from Clubhouse. We know we got people on Clubhouse who are just chomping at the bit to ask us questions, especially after the interview we did with Danny Burnside last week. So stay tuned. Tech Talk coming up on VoiceOver Body Shop right now.
From the outer reaches, they came. Bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master. A professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hello there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO. B.S. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
We love to talk tech, because that's what George and I do. It's what we do.
Good questions, yes.
Questions are really, really what we really like having here on the show. We did a clubhouse with Danny Burnside last Friday, and we ran it all this week as our podcast, and love the questions people give us, but I think that's the basis of our relationship, George. It has to do with, well, what's the question? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. We now know all the answers. The answer is always there. Well, and we always seem to know the answer.
We know them. It doesn't mean we can remember them all.
I'm sure we've forgotten more than what we've learned.
I know that's the problem, really. I'm going to try to make a machine learning AI version of my brain one of these days. If anybody knows how to do that, hit me up, would you?
All right. That's the last thing we want. We do not want to talk about AI. That's a whole other deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, but you got to realize, George and I do this all day, especially today. It was busy today. It's like I'm sitting there working on all sorts of stuff, and the inbox in my specimen collection cup just kept filling up with people saying, how's my audio? And it was from people all over the world. And, I take the time and I want to listen. And usually within 5 to 10 seconds, I know exactly what's going on in somebody's studio. I mean, you and I have heard it all. It's like, what is that noise? Well, it could be this, this, or this, but it's probably not that. If you really want to learn how to record trouble-free. Now, if you were listening last week, we had Kevin Gershon on, the producer from CBS, and he was getting into some really geeky stuff about what mic to use. And again, we'd like to remind you that it's not the mic that's going to get you the work. It's what goes on between your ears, into your lungs, and out your vocal cords. And I think he made it pretty clear, if your interpretation is right and your mic's not right, he's going to go with interpretation over the mic, which I was very glad to hear because that's what I keep telling people. You know, it's not the mic that does that. But if you want to learn how to do it properly, and it's very, very simple, we've broken it down into some very simple steps on how to make sure that your audio is right. Or if you have a technical issue, say you've built your booth and you've got all this equipment and you're like, how do I use it? Which is probably the problem I think most people probably run into. It's like, well, I got this, you know, this 14-channel board and all this stuff, and how do I use it? And you bought this. Why? So we can usually break those things down and solve them for you and make sure that you are using them correctly. And if you would like to work with Mr. Whittem, George the Tech, how would they get in touch with you?
Why? My name is my address.
That makes it
George easy. George the.tech. I try to make it easy. George the.tech. It's weird to say on the phone, but when you see it written out, it makes sense. I've got ways to schedule time with me. I've got my sound check. The most affordable way that you can work with Dan and I is through sending us a sound check. You can have audio processing set up, design a studio room acoustics. I have my acoustics tune-up service where I'll listen to the room and suggest a plan for how to tune that space better, whether there's nothing in it or you just bought a booth and it doesn't sound the way it's supposed to. So those are some of the ways I can work with you. Dan also does a lot of the same things over at
HomeVoiceOverStudio.com.
Right there.
That's the place, HomeVoiceOverStudio.com. Look at all the services that I offer. You know, a lot of it is just, I feel like a therapist most of the time. you know, people are like, you know, how do I get into voiceover? How do I do this? How do I do that? A lot of times, and I'm sure you discovered this as well, George, when we're talking to people and helping them with their studios, a lot of it really gets into what is the meat, you know, the real meat of the voiceover business itself and what it really takes to succeed. And I do talk a lot about that, along with getting your audio sounding nice and clean, because everybody's like obsessed with this thing about broadcast quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've come to the conclusion that broadcast quality means it doesn't sound bad.
It means somebody will pay you for the audio that they're going to put on the air. That's what broadcast quality means.
Yes. Well, we've had a little bit of construction going on here at the voiceover body shop.
Yes, you have a new cave on the premises.
It's not a cave. It's a she shed.
A she shed. Sorry, not a lady cave. A she shed.
She shed. Yeah. No, the missus was like, I have no privacy here because our other son is now living here. So we got four people living in this house. There's no privacy sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I get to escape out here to the fortress of solitude.
That's right.
Yeah. And, and Jacob has his room and Lewis has his room, although he's all over the house. Mark's, I can't have a private conversation on the phone.
Right.
So instead of building an addition, Tough Shed built a shed back here. You drywall it in. Suddenly you've got 120 square feet more space.
How long did it take to get one set up?
Well, we ordered it a month ago. It took about 6 hours to actually bring it into our backyard and set it up. So
can't beat it.
You know, and I've actually worked in a bunch of these types of things. If you drywall it and insulate it and stuff like that, and it's, you know, way away from the street, like in your backyard, you can build a moving blanket booth and that, and they work fabulous. They really are.
Yeah. I mean, it's essentially like a very simple, tiny house that
very,
just has the
tiny
exterior built, and you
right.
have to build the interior. It's a DIY interior situation.
Exactly. Exactly. So now she has her she shed and now she can go have private conversations.
She's going to be happy. Happy wife, happy life.
Hope so. Anyway, we're here to talk about home voiceover studio tech. As somebody once said, who wants to listen to a show about that? Well, 10 years later, we're still doing it. What's up in your tech update this week, George?
Sorry, there was some really weird distracting noises outside.
I heard
you're
those.
Not. Did it make it through the gate on
it,
my
it
mic?
It sounded like somebody yelling, but...
Jeez Louise. Well, that's actually something I can mention.
Okay, good.
I'm in the process of, I've talked about it a lot, but I think I'm feeling extra motivated now all of a sudden for some reason. What the hell is going on out there? To finally do some window soundproofing in here. My initial idea was to go overkill and build a wooden frame that would entirely surround my two windows, you know, make this very large contraption. And I thought, that's kind of scorched earth, a very big solution, heavy, complicated, difficult to take down. That was the other thing. What if I want to open the window? Really hard to take down. So I'm going to basically DIY an Indos setup. Indos is a really interesting company. They make very well-designed windows inserts at indowindows.com. No, I didn't stutter. Indowindows.com. Very well-designed, very good product, and they have an excellent way of having, they send you this kit to pre-measure or measure the opening that you're going to be using, and it's really precise. But I thought I would save a little bit of dough and try to do it myself. So I found a plexiglass supplier here in the Santa Monica area, and I've taken measurements, and I'm going to have them cut me at two pieces of quarter-inch plexi. Now, that's not very thick. It's not super dense. But to go up a layer or a thickness from there was double the price. So I'm doing about $100 a piece to do my two windows. And I've got some weather stripping stuff that I found at Home Depot, and I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to put handles on it and make it so I can put them in and take them out when I want to open windows or clean windows and things like that. And anyway, I'm feeling extra motivated to finish that. I also got some gym mat material, which I found at Home Depot. They sell it. It looks like a 3 foot wide rubber floor mat that you might roll out, you know, for the entryway of a building, but it's actually much, much thicker and denser material. And it's really intended for like a fitness area where you want to have weights and put them down on the ground, maybe drop them. And my plan is to actually hang that on the inside of my office door. So if all goes well, I'll have been able to hang that over the inside of my office door without damaging anything, without putting screws in the frame or whatever. I'm gonna try to do it entirely by hanging it from the top edge of the door, so that there's nothing else attached. And then the concept is that I want the rubber to extend around the entire perimeter of the door, maybe 2 inches. So when the door is shut, the rubber will pull up tight against the trim, or what do you call it, the door or window casing, trim, whatever.
And the window frame.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that my little idea is going to help reduce sound coming from inside the apartment as well, because the doors are very, very thin. And just like, you know, Marcy needs her privacy, so does my girlfriend. She needs to be able to talk on the phone and, you know, not disturb each other. So maybe by next episode, I'll have had a chance to do that. And I likely will document it too, so you can see.
Absolutely.
If you guys are hearing occasional staticky glitches and seeing them, because I think there's a video glitch that accompanies the audio glitch. Dan, have you noticed it tonight on StreamYard from my feed?
It's just a every now and again.
Yeah. It's so the video doesn't freeze. Okay. I don't know what it is. I will put it out there that I don't know what it is, but I will say that the only thing that has changed since that started is swapping out my old Mac Mini 2018, which isn't really old at all, for a new Mac Mini M1. That's really the only thing I have changed in my setup since then. And now I'm having that issue, and it only seems to happen in StreamYard, which is running on Chrome. So apparently Jeff confirmed that the video glitches as well. So there's some audio and video glitch. And what's weird about that is the video is one device. That's the this little box, their Ultra Recorder by Ultra Studio. And the audio is going through the Rodecaster. So maybe there's like a mis-sync thing. I don't know what it is, but I have to do a lot more research to figure out why it's happening. But well, I am aware it's happening, and I'm going to look for updates. But I still have my old 2018 Mac, so if I don't find a solution by next week, it might get plugged back in to do the show, which would make me really sad.
Yeah. Well, my M1 is still running here. I mean,
And you're not having the same problem.
I am not having the issue. Of course, my camera is going directly into my computer. So
you're using a simpler camera. Maybe that might really be the solutions for me to get a Brio, Logitech Brio 4K camera just like that.
Don't I look fabulous?
It works fantastic. Yeah. It looks really good. Absolutely. The Apollo Whoosh update, I've talked about this already. But if you have an Apollo and you have had the Whoosh problem, I don't need to go into what that means because you know who you are. I'm gathering data on those who have had the issue. I'm creating like this big spreadsheet, including sound samples. So if you want to be a part of that, go to georgethe.tech, go to the VOTech services, go to the very bottom, look for the Apollo service page. And on that page, there is a form you can fill out and submit your ticket number and any information that you can to give us some history. I'm going to gather all this information and present it to somebody high enough up at the Universal Audio Company to hopefully, I don't know, get replacements or get them to own up to that fact that there's some kind of very wide technical issue that doesn't seem to be really being addressed very directly. So anyway, that's if you're part of that crew. And lastly, and then Dan and I have a bunch of stuff we want to talk about. I've discovered that if you have an SM7B and you've not listened to us, but you're still trying to use one and you're using it with a cloud lifter, try it without for a change. I found that with this particular user, she was on a Mac when she used her SM7B without the cloud lifter. Yes, the level was quite low coming into the Scarlett, but it was a cleaner signal. We didn't have any buzz. We've had an issue with buzzes sometimes with the cloud lifter, and we didn't have, I wouldn't consider the noise floor unacceptable, especially since she was doing audiobooks and she was doing characters in the audiobooks. So she was very dynamic, sometimes quite loud. And so when I had her read a passage, you know, laughing, I always tell people, Dan, laugh for me. Is when they really laugh, that's when the levels go wham, and that they slam off the top of the meter. And I say, okay, set your gain for that. And then we go from there. And when we did that, we got what I considered a clean recording. It sounded good. Again, levels being low overall, but it ended up working out okay. So moral of the story is if you did end up buying an SM7B and you bought a cloud lifter, and you're having some issues with noise, just try without the cloud lifter and just get an alternative test to that and see how well it works out for you. If you're recording ASMR or soft-spoken voiceover, it is not the right choice.
Or if you're Billie Eilish.
Yeah, if you're soft-spoken, it is not the right choice. But if you're projecting and then you're doing characters and stuff, it can still work out pretty well. So, Dan, something came in the mail? Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, ooh, let's talk about this.
Oh, no. Yes.
The Sweetwater catalog.
Oh, the bathroom catalog. Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, you know.
What have you seen? I'm looking at their new, what's new, top new recording equipment page on their website.
You know, I guess it's sort of like reading Playboy, which I only read for the articles.
Yeah, we're only reading it for the gear porn.
Stuff. Right, exactly.
We're not shopping.
I'm going through here and I'm like, yeah, there's one of those. Yeah, there's one of those. Oh, I remember we saw one of those at NAMM. Oh, yeah, exactly. There's that. You know,
there's another cheap shotgun mic.
Exactly.
And there's another cheap ribbon mic.
There's a lot more shotgun mics now.
Yeah, there sure are, aren't there?
You know, I had the sort of love-hate relationship with Sweetwater. If I need something, I can buy it from there. But when somebody goes in there and says, I'm starting a home voiceover studio, what do I need? They usually end up with Pro Tools, a U87 or a U87AI, depending on, you know, what they want to sell you.
Or an SM7 for that matter.
Or an SM7B. It's, you know, that one seems to be real prevalent. Great, great microphone if you're a singer.
Read the description in the catalog.
It doesn't say for voiceover.
It says ADR, which isn't correct.
Yeah.
It says, what did it say? There was a couple different categories they listed, but half of them were not correct.
Right.
So, yeah, that happens sometimes when the wrong folks are recommending gear to you. So right. Sweetwater is not any different from, I mean, they're getting more educated over there. But for the most part, we still say if you're going to go to these catalogs and these websites, Know what you're looking for.
Right.
Beforehand.
Yeah. Or ask us, because generally we know what we like to work with and what's going to create the best sound for you without too much effort. The more detail something has, the more complex it is, the more it's getting harder it is to learn how to use. And you got to remember, a lot of the stuff was designed, well, one, for music, and for two, people who had been training and using this kind of stuff and recording at a higher level and mixing and doing music and all that stuff for a long time. And they understand what it is. You're not going to learn this stuff overnight. And we just want to make it simple for you so you can concentrate on being a voice actor and not a recording engineer. You're not required to be a recording engineer. You just have to be able to record competently. And as long as the acoustics in your room are right, as long as you are using your microphone properly and you set your levels properly, that's really all there is to it. But you got to know what all those different parameters are and how you make sure that you get it right within your particular booth. But going through that catalog, one thing became very, very clear, although I knew this was going to happen. Lots of stuff for podcasting. It's like CBs, you know. Now podcasting's everybody's got to have their setup for a podcast. And a lot more mics than, say, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Lots of different mixers.
USB mics.
USB mics, you know, USB mics have really come up in quality for doing podcasting.
I just found something that was surprising to me in the new equipment page, and that was acoustical treatment.
Whoa. So somebody's actually mentioning that.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a brand new company to me, so I have absolutely zero experience with this.
Acoustical Fulfillment.
Yeah, fascinating, right?
Hmm.
Whoever they are convinced somebody at one of the buyers at Sweetwater to put this in the catalog. So that's no small feat.
Yeah.
It looks really interesting. I can't tell by looking at the front of it what's going on. I really can't. I don't know.
Is that a tube? Is that
the corner photo piece? Justice at all. Here's the rear, which doesn't look all that unusual. It's an open back frame
with fiberglass in it.
Yeah, that you can hang. Okay, well,
it's a bass trap, essentially.
But as you get a close-up look at it, you start realizing, there's actually something else going on here. So it's a relatively conventional OC-703 kind of thing under here, but then there's this curve plastic thing in the front. So what I'm realizing is it's an acoustical panel, and you can see it at the bottom now, mm-hmm. with a curved plastic diffuser on the front. And so it says combines absorption, diffusion, and bass trapping into a single innovative design. And by removing the flex shield diffuser, you can control the acoustic liveliness of your recording space at any time. That's really okay. There we go. I'm starting to get a little bit more now. So there's the normal panel. There's the frame, and then there's the plexi piece that tucks in and creates a curve.
Oh,
well, that's really fascinating.
Sort of mix and match and like, well, let's see, maybe we'll put it over here, maybe we'll put it over there.
Yeah, and look how dramatically different its performance is acoustically. It completely changes the purpose of this thing and what it does. So all I can say is it'd be very interesting to experiment with these in a small room, like in a voiceover booth. And then changing, you know, maybe put one of those shields in one spot and see what it sounds like. I wouldn't do it all the way around. It would be way too live. Mm-hmm. But fascinating. It's neat to see some innovation in this space.
Yeah. But Studio Suit did all that, too.
Right. Exactly.
Unfortunately, Studio Suit is not around anymore.
Now we really kind of see it.
But this is the kind of stuff you're going to find in the Sweetwater catalog and the B&H catalog and at Sam Ash and all these different places. They all want to sell you stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they need to be selling you the stuff that's right for doing voiceover.
Right. That's right for voiceover and the right amount of stuff, too.
Exactly.
I've dealt with other companies that you all well probably know who spec out stuff for voiceover. You know, you can say the room is this big, I'm doing this and this, and they'll actually underspec, not enough absorption, you know, which is kind of funny. It's like, well, no, you could have sold more because we needed more. So definitely talk to us before you make that investment so we can tell you what to buy, you know. Yeah. We don't want to experiment with your room. We like to experiment with what we're doing, but when you hire us, we don't want to experiment with your money and your space. We want to make sure we get it right the first time if we can.
Right. You know, usually it's like, use what you got. If it works, okay.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of use what you got, love practical solutions.
Right. If you got a duvet, sometimes it can do amazing things.
This room I'm in right now is a prime example of practical treatment. There's literally one purpose-made panel. Sorry, two purpose-made panels in the whole room. One is over here, and one is in the very back. You can see that one maroon panel.
Yeah.
This is a drape over here. Yeah. Over here is my closet. The doors are, the sliding doors, two of them, you know, one side is open.
Right.
So the clothing is there. Mm-hmm. I have a hugely cluttered shelving unit, right? And then below me is a fold-out futon bed.
Cool.
You add all that together, and you get a decently sound.
It sounds much better there, I must say. It's not quite as echoey.
Yeah, it's practical stuff. I love the combination of practical with purpose-made stuff.
Yeah. So if you go through the new catalog, look at it for its purient value, not necessarily its audio value. Like that word?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to cover tonight.
Yes.
Because we had a thing yesterday where somebody was contacting us and saying, my audio changed. It happened twice with two different people within.
Oh, it happens every
over
week.
The weekend. And it's like, why? I had everything set and I used it. And then I came back and I used my computer again and recorded. And it's all different. You need to check your input settings. Let me show you.
In your DAW.
Right.
Not the system sound.
Yeah, let me share my screen here.
Please.
Okay. Let's see here. We'll share.
If you got to have a post-it note attached to your monitor saying, one, check the input setting in fill in the blank, twisted wave, et cetera.
Right. Every piece of software, each DAW has.
I think I need to stop sharing mine so you can share yours.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter, but in Twisted Wave, it's going to say, what is your input? You know, always go through your preferences before you start. Don't assume that it's going to work, especially if you're on a laptop, especially if you're on a PC, because it may change this. It may change the settings a little bit. Let me see if I can do this now.
Okay. I'm sharing Twisted Wave, Dan, but I don't know if you'll see the menus. Can you see this?
Yes,
yeah,
you don't see
the drop-down menus, though.
No,
unfortunately.
But usually, you know, when you go into preferences, it's going to say, what is your input? What is your output? Input and output are the most important things.
Yeah, input being the most important thing.
Right, and especially when you're recording. But that seems to be the issue, is people forget to check those things. And, of course, the other one is, why does my audio sound so muffled? Try turning your mic around and talking into the right side.
Oh my gosh, that's so common. Well, the audio input issue. Now, Twisted Wave has been, Thomas with Twisted Wave has been working on this. I'm not sure if it's in all the versions or just the beta or whatever, but there's a feature now where if the next time you launch Twisted Wave and you hit record, if the interface that was last connected is not selected, or is it the one that was last selected? No, if the one that was last selected is not connected, it's going to pop up a warning. Hey, last time you used a Scarlett, where's your Scarlett? Which should be really, really helpful. Adobe Audition makes it a lot harder to screw this up, because you guys that use Audition know how it always nags you. Hey, you changed your audio device.
Yeah.
If you
stop it.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. Is if you disable that message like permanently, I think there's a little checkbox. Sorry. No more. It's not going to nag you anymore. Now it's all on you.
Yeah.
But definitely check it in your actual DAW. Do not rely on system sound or the default sound settings in Windows. Definitely check it. Triple check it. Never assume.
We assume that you have lots of questions for us. So we're going to take a break and we will get back to your questions that have been written in and people on Clubhouse. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're listening to VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS.TV.
Hi.
Let's face it. If you're a voice talent, not everyone in your family or close friends really understands what you need for your home voiceover studio.
You want a what?
Well, voiceoveressentials.com has the perfect answer when it comes to birthdays and other gift-giving for us voiceover folk. New, for the first time ever, after countless requests, voiceoveressentials.com is thrilled to offer the VoiceOver Essentials gift card. You pick the amount you want to give, and they take care of the rest. The recipient will receive an email with their digital gift card and gift code to use on anything they offer on voiceoveressentials.com. Give them or give yourself the gift of getting exactly what you want, like the Harlan Hogan VO1A microphone, the Portabooth Pro or Plus, Harlan Hogan Signature Series VoiceOver Optimized Headphones.
A lot of what?
Go to voiceoveressentials.com and click on Shop and Gift Cards and choose the amount. Gift cards now at voiceoveressentials.com. Thanks, Harlan.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
Stick around. You don't want to miss this. Look what you made me do. Power 1039.
At Target, we want you to come as you are. Be comfortable. Okay, maybe not bathrobe comfortable.
Pants for the customer in aisle four, please.
Nuevo México necesita un cambio. La representante Michelle Lujan Grisham ha luchado por nuestro estado en la Cámara de Representantes.
Watch anywhere, anytime, on an unlimited number of devices. Sign in with your Netflix account to watch instantly at Netflix.com.
The ice cream maker is a big risk that can have huge reward. Until you forget to turn it on.
Well, that's it, guys. Time is up.
Hey, it's JMC. Thanks for watching the VoiceOver Body Shop. If you're demo ready or looking to get there, check out jmcdemos.com and see a sample of our work. Now let's get back to Dan and George and this week's tech wisdom.
I have to talk now because we have a sponsor, Source Elements, a wonderful company that's an innovator in the field of voiceover, or really audio remote recording, whose name has really become on the lips of everybody in the business, because now everybody is recording from home, and many of you probably will continue to do so for, well, maybe forever. Because fact of the matter is as productions have had to, you know, some of them kicking and streaming. Hey, that's pretty good. I got a guy, it's kickingandstreaming.com. Getting that right now. As people are dragged kicking and screaming into being forced to record voiceover from home, everybody's had to adapt. And what's very likely going to happen is many productions will not likely opt to return back to the traditional method of production. For sure, a lot of voiceover that's produced remotely now, not all of that is ideally done remotely. There's a lot of cases where it's just nicer and better and more productive to do this face-to-face. But many of the studio recordings now that can be done remotely are done very efficiently, and Source Connect has become a part of that. So if you, at this point, have been watching and listening to our show and have still not gotten, at the very least, a trial of Source Connect, you better give it a shot. Head over to source-elements.com. You can get a free trial of Source Connect. You just have to have an iLock account, which is free. You don't have to have an iLock dongle. It's a USB thing. You don't have to have it. And you can get up and running. And if you need a little extra hand, I do have their support, by the way, has never been better. They've beefed up support big time, but you can also get extra hand-holding white glove treatment over on my website at georgethe.tech/SC for Source Connect. Anyway, thanks, Source Elements. We appreciate it. Let's get to those tech questions right after this.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Alas Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
And we're okay. Back here on VoiceOver Body Shop and ready to take your questions. We'll start off here. Our the guy who monitors our Facebook chat, Jeff Holman, says, George, didn't you used to have the Synology RT2600 AC Wi-Fi router on your website in your gear recommendations? Why not anymore? Do you still recommend it or something else? Isn't that what we're using here?
You have a Synology router on your end, which, yep, I had several years ago as a test platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then I brought it in there to solve some issues, and it's been reliable ever since. Is that right?
Yep.
No problem?
None.
And so I bought the newer update of that router, and I'm using that now, which I do believe is the Synology RT2600AC Wi-Fi router. And why it's not on my site, I'm not sure. Those are, a lot of those links are right from Amazon. They're affiliate links and stuff, and maybe that link went down or disappeared. I don't know. But I do still, to say that I recommend it, that is, I use it. It literally is the router on my desk. I'm touching it right now.
Ooh.
It's I'm caressing it. It's highly reliable. Synology makes extremely well-made gear that's still affordable. It's probably the least expensive closest to like what we'd call enterprise grade equipment that you're going to find. But it's also very easy to set up. It has an awesome user interface. It looks like almost like you're using a Windows or a Mac computer, where it has a click and drag mouse interface. It's just brilliantly designed. So yes, in a nutshell, I definitely do still recommend the Synology routers. I really recommend anything from Synology. Their disk station hard drives, which you can use for a network hard drive solution to backup stuff. They have really, really big, complicated RAID systems for video production.
Yeah, I have it.
It's good stuff. So yeah, Jeff, I do still recommend it for sure.
Yeah. We got any questions on Clubhouse? Danny Burnside, who do we have there, over there?
Did you get a DM, actually, Danny?
We did, from Greg in Atlanta. It says, when opening up a new document in my DAW, Twisted Wave, what bit and sample settings should I select?
Good question.
Good
what
question.
What do you use, Dan?
I use 24-bit and in 44.1K. That's really the industry standard. I'm seeing a lot of 4800 these days.
Yeah, 48,000 would be like video-specific stuff.
Right.
Like, that's been the sample rate in video production from the get-go, I guess. But they're so cross-compatible.
Yeah.
That if you record one and they need the other, you just simply resave it or export to the other version. There's absolutely no, unlike saving to an MP3, for example, changing a sample rate from 44.1 to 48K will not degrade the sound quality really at all. Some geeky audio geek engineer person can speak up and tell me, well, there's dithering and I don't know, whatever, but no.
Okay. And Dave G is saying 16-bit for ACX, you know,
that's what they want delivered.
Yeah.
It still doesn't mean I wouldn't record in 24-bit initially. Cause I feel like that is because our hardware now is almost entirely 24-bit converters, right? Even down to the Scarlett Solo.
Yep.
Because that's a 24-bit converter, I feel like recording in 24-bit makes a lot of sense. You're capturing every little bit of the audio resolution. Haha. And, you know, this seems to make the most sense. Hard drive space, yeah, it takes a little more. But it's not really a big consideration these days. Hard drive space is cheap.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Good question.
All right. Now, Jun Leek. Now, I'm not sure I understand all of this question because it's a lot of numbers. It says, I'm looking for a perfect match with M149. I already have an ABI 512, but looking for VT1 DW.
Well, he is looking for gear sluts. Oh, and that's another piece of news, actually. Speaking of gear sluts, if you go to gearsluts.com, it has a new name.
They chose to drop the sluts.
They did.
Shamed.
It's unfortunately, obviously, maybe not so obvious to everyone, but sluts is a negative connotation that's really directed to females mainly. And they didn't want to be attached to that anymore after many, many years. So they are now gearspace.com.
Ooh,
if you type in the old domain, of course it works, which I just did because I didn't know what the new one was. But if you go to gearspace.com, that is an awesome place to ask a question like that one. Because frankly, we just don't get that into high-end tube equipment. I will say, I have met Doug Fern, DW Fern. He is a really neat, nice guy. His equipment is insanely well designed and made. It's really expensive. They're made one by one, by hand, 10 minutes from where I grew up in Pennsylvania. So, you know, how could I not recommend it? But honestly, the first time I saw Doug Fern gear was actually in the studio of a voice actor many, many years ago. And I was like, what is that? the gear is made like to a degree of quality that is just no longer seen. You know, every component inside has a wire going to it that's been hand soldered. We call it point to point construction. There's no PCB. You know, there's no circuit board printed in there. It's everything.
Looks like somebody plugging different things in a switchboard and a synthesizer.
Yeah, everything is hand wired, point to point. It is incredibly high quality stuff. Yeah. So, hey, is it a good match for an M149? I have no freaking clue, dude. But it probably would work fine. It's a good question for GearSpace and some of the other really high end.
Yeah.
Audio equipment forums.
Yeah. Let's go back to Clubhouse. Who do we have next?
Let's see. Nobody's queued up yet, but let's see if Danny has anybody.
We do have one more direct DM.
Oh, cool.
Are large diaphragm mics generally warmer compared to shotguns?
What do you mean by
that's such
warm.
One of those things. Here's my two cents, and I'll let you go take it, Dan.
Okay.
A large diaphragm condenser mic, if you're talking about a cardioid mic, can have a warmer sound because of that proximity effect. I think
like
of
this.
Exactly. That's what I think of when I think warm. You can get up into the mic and it will build up that low end and it will have a, that's what I think of when I think of warm. Now, Dan, do you feel the same? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I mean, you're talking on a shotgun mic right now.
Yep.
And I am talking on a Harlan Hogan VO1A, by the way. Mm-hmm. And what's warm? The fact of the matter is we don't talk to people
this close.
This close. And two, you know, what really is warm when it comes to your voice? You either got a warm voice or you don't.
Right. And if you have a more nasal voice, that's not considered a warm voice.
Right. Now, I remember the principal at my elementary school, Mr. Schwob. This guy would walk into the room, and he would start talking, and the room would rumble. And he was just talking in a normal kind of a quiet, but the room would rumble. That's a warm voice.
His voice resonated with the room.
And it resonates 58 years later. So, I mean,
wow.
I mean, but that's the kind of thing. If you got the pipes, here's the thing. Don't fall in love with your voice. Let your microphone fall in love with your voice. You know, you are who you are. The idea of, and we say this all the time, the idea of your home voiceover studio is not to make you sound great. It's to make you sound like you. And every time we hear something, it's like, well, I want to sound warmer, or I want to sound this, or I want to sound that. A lot of that stuff can really be done in post. You want to capture you as you exist. And any good studio condenser mic, you know, that's over $200, I would say, will capture you and can be adjusted to sound the way it's supposed to sound. And so whether you got a shotgun or a large diaphragm condenser, generally, to me, I could never tell a difference. But I'm old and I'm deaf and I, you know, who knows? But I listen to an awful lot of audio and I can hear the differences, in different people's audio, and most of the time it's something physical. It's how they're using the mic in the environment in which they're using it and the levels they're setting. And that's what makes the difference in all this stuff.
And so the way you address the mic's going to change it a lot. So I have this mic pointing almost straight into my mouth right now. So it's going to have some brightness to it.
Right.
If I was to point it more or less downward like this,
it's a little warmer.
It's going to be less sibilant, right? Less present sounding.
So.
And slightly warmer. Right. So just by repositioning the mic you already have, in your case a 416, you can get a little bit more of a warm sound. But a 416 is not by definition or designed to be quote unquote warm. So there's other ways, of course, EQ. If I was setting up your EQ and you were saying, I want to get this certain sound, then I could add a little bit more in this range at the lower end, maybe smooth out the top so it's not quite as crisp, not quite as maybe even sibilant or picking up sibilance. So there are ways to adjust it in different methods.
Right. I mean, when I listen to people's audio, I listen to hear their voice. Do I hear them clearly? Is there something interrupting with the clarity of their voice? Not is it too warm or is it too crisp or one of those things? It's like, if I was in the same room with this person, this is what they would sound like. And they generally don't sound like this. If I was in the same room with them. So anyway. Okay, Rob Ryder, who has corrected us on his name pronunciation, finally.
Thank you, Rob.
He says, I have two, because I know this guy does a lot of, live announce stuff. I have two U87 AIs and a refurbished U87. These are big, important,
because you
expensive
should have $10,000 worth of mics. Everybody
microphone
should.
Right. Other than 10 dB lower gain on the original 87, they sound the same to me. Thank you. I'm currently run my 87 directly into a Presonus Studio Live 3, but I have a Vintec 473, which is a
expensive mic preamp.
Right. Would there be any advantage to use the 473 into a line input of a Presonus? Does the 473 impart any different sound to the mic plugged into it? And yes, my name is pronounced Ryder, so I stand corrected. Official retraction there. it's one of the. Yeah, there's only one way to find out, Rob. Try it and see if you like it better.
I know. We'd have to hear a lot of A/Bs and comparing.
Yeah.
I offer a thing called Mic Check. It's kind of a misnamed thing because it's for anybody who wants me to compare multiple things. So, a sound check, send me a sample, I'll listen to it. A mic, a recording. But what I call my mic check is for people that are like, well, I've got these options. I've got these different mics. They all have these different switches on them. Oh, and by the way, I've got several different mic preamps. That's what mic check is for. So if you get a mic check from me, you can record in several different alternate versions. Don't try to fool me with a blind A/B. I'm not swayed by what something costs, or just label them clearly so I can really rank it for you and stuff. And I'll give you my opinion if it makes any difference at all. I'm looking at the 473 and it's a 4-channel mic preamp. So it's 473 or 73, which means it's an 1173 style preamp, which means it's a Neve style preamp. So it's 4 Neve style preamps in one box.
Okay.
I'm sure it's fantastic. Not 1173, 1073. I'm sure it's fantastic, but flavors, taste, sound wise, yeah.
Yeah. Send us a sample. Let's send us what you do with that. Singleton says, VO from YouTube, is the UA Apollo Solo high pass filter more effective than the high pass filter? High pass filter is totally adjustable. I mean, you adjust it for, is one better than the other?
The audition one is, 100% adjustable from doing almost nothing to fall off the face of, a brick wall. Just once it hits your frequency, it's gone. The button on the Apollo is literally a fixed setting that you cannot adjust without using another plugin. Now you could use a plugin and you could fart around with it. But to make the answer simple, no, the Audition one is more effective in that it's more flexible. It's more fine tunable.
Yeah. With the spectrograph, you can be really accurate. What you're cutting down. And the thing is you use a high pass filter to cut out the rumble. It's always better to find out what's causing the rumble.
If you can eliminate it from the source, by all means.
It's your heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, your refrigerator, or your neighbor's Harley Davidson.
Or a neighbor's.
You really should drive as opposed to running it in his backyard.
There are reasons why if you've got a TLM-103 plugged into an Apollo Solo, almost every single time I'll tell you to press the high pass filter.
Yeah.
And you know, try to filter some of that out from the source. That would be better than not using anything.
Yeah.
And that would make it easier to do things like Source Connect sessions and have that preemptively removed.
Yeah.
So that when you connect to Source Connect and you open up your TLM 103 and their subwoofer doesn't start going with whatever low end noise. Because that's the thing, like you might be listening to yourself on your headphones. They may not really reproduce those low frequencies. Depending on what headphones you have. But as soon as you connect on Source Connect, if there's a low noise, a rumble issue, or a really low frequency noise, you connect to that studio and their studio monitors are going to go berserk. So yeah. Probably not a bad idea to use it in a lot of cases.
Yeah. And what's really bad is when you find a subharmonic frequency under 80 hertz and then one at 90. And then something Ooh. Else at about 120 or 130.
And you like, start building up on top of each
other. It's like you've
got
multiple sources there. Find out what they are and shut them off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then people can't hear them. You don't hear these low rumbles because...
They're in the room. They're always around you.
They're ambient and your brain tunes them out.
Yeah.
And
you can put on headphones and it won't matter because the sound of that, whatever that tone is still penetrating... through the headphones. It's very hard. That's why we can. It penetrates so well and you can really filter it out. We can hear it very, very well. And also we know what to look for on
right.
the spectral view
right.
in audition. So it's very easy to find.
So send us your samples.
Yeah. Oh, we almost missed our clubhouse.
There's a clubhouse question. Love the clubhouse question.
And it's somebody we know. It's Danny. Who is it?
It's Pilar. Pilar.
Pilar.
Hello again.
Hello.
Welcome back.
So, okay. I have a 10-year-old iMac. It won't go past High Sierra. It's got 20 gigabytes of memory because I put some in. So it's pretty much, it's not on its last legs, but I'm having trouble with upgrading now. And so, the lovely mustache.
That's your trouble.
That's my
trouble. Why are you upgrading?
Well, I wanted to get a Mac Mini.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean upgrading hardware? You want to buy another computer? You don't mean just upgrading software?
No. Yes, I want to upgrade. And so my question is, so I've been looking at a Mac Mini. And right now I'm using basically in terms of storage, I'm using half of my available storage, which is 500 gigabytes. Mm-hmm. And so my plan is to go for something like 16 gigabytes of unified memory, a terabyte of storage.
Ooh, nice.
Well, only because if I get the 512, I'm going to use it up right away. I won't have anything left.
You said you're using half of 512 or half of 1 terabyte?
I'm using half of 1 terabyte on my
iMac. Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. You know, they offer pre-installed software, but that just gets to be.
That's,
you know.
Don't worry about that stuff.
Yeah. So my question is, how much of a learning curve is there in terms of what I'm going to put, what I'm going to take off of my iMac and put onto my Mac Mini? I know that, Dan, you were mentioning the Rosetta in terms of how everything can be sort of in harmony.
Well, yeah, if you go into Big Sur, George has explained it a few times. They've got a program that translates older programs to Big Sur, right?
Yeah, but it can't translate all of older programs. Right. So what's going to happen is you're going to install. So what you're probably going to want to do is migrate your old system to the new system because it's the easiest way to get it started. It's not necessarily the best. Really, the best is starting completely from scratch and installing only what you need.
Want. Yeah.
And not migrating in old stuff and old problems. But I will say that when I got my M1 Mac Mini, because I wanted to take a shortcut and I wanted to get it up and running quickly, I did migrate from my Time Machine backup of the old Mac Mini 2018 to the new M1, and most of it worked out okay. But if you're going from a really old system like Sierra, I ran into this exact scenario just 2 weeks ago for David K. We had a 2011 Mac Mini, got him the new M1 Mac Mini. I did a system migration from Time Machine, And immediately the first apps that came up that were obviously not going to launch were his Microsoft Office apps from 2010 or whatever they were. Yeah. They were old, right? They just show up as, nope, not going to happen. Like there'll be a line through them or whatever. So you're going to discover when you go to a new system like that, when you jump forward that many years, there's bound to be some apps that maybe you've always expected to just work, just no longer work. But there's so many workarounds for Office. There's OpenOffice and LibreOffice.
I don't even use it. I use Word on my laptop. So in other words, your advice would be to basically start completely fresh and not migrate.
That is the most guaranteed way to have as few surprises as possible.
It's not because you're installing way to do it, but
yeah, it's not the fastest time wise, but you're installing each thing that you know you need as you need them, or maybe hopefully before, and just so that everything you're installing is the newest, the latest, the version made for M1, because when you migrate everything over, a lot of these apps are going to be the prior generation apps that weren't made for the Silicon M1, and you'll have to update all of those apps. And it may not even be obvious to you, and they might still be running in Rosetta mode. So in the end, it may not actually save a lot of time to migrate it over, because that's what I found. I found I had to update a ton of apps, and I had to figure out which is working, which isn't. So maybe it would have been easier just to install only what I need. But I was just feeling a little too lazy, and I think I have just too many damn apps. Because I teach on all these platforms, I've got every DAW. I just didn't want to have to reinstall everything. So I migrated over, and it was pretty well successful. I just had to, you know, like Chrome, the old version of Chrome will still run, but you don't know that there's a new version of Chrome that will run better on Silicon unless you install it yourself. So gotchas, there's going to be gotchas, but overall, I think if you start with a migration, you can't go too wrong. Just be aware that you may run into some of those incompatible software problems.
Okay. And one last question. What would you do if you were me with this iMac that you've had for 10 years?
Is there anybody that you feel deserves a computer? A niece, nephew, a school?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Or a grandmother or mom or somebody that has a terrible... terribly running Windows machine, you know, give it to them.
But an old iMac?
Great idea.
Just a reliable
if the screen's still working well, if it's still booting and still running fine, then somebody would love to have that.
It works fine. It just doesn't, and I can't get anything for it on the store, at the trade-in. No.
If all they're going to do is browse the web with it and use it as a YouTube player and maybe watch Netflix on it and, you know,
Zoom, for that.
It's fine. It still does all that fine.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All righty. Well, we have come to the end of another useless hour, I guess. hopefully,
that's the way they wrap up car talk, right?
Right.
you've wasted another perfectly good hour.
If you had guys had any idea how much we enjoy talking to you guys and giving you out this information and helping you out. But we are available for professional consultation if you really want to learn the stuff inside out, backwards, upside down, and sideways. Contact George over at...
I'm over at georgethe.tech.
And I'm over at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to wrap it up. So don't go away.
You're still watching VOBS?
Hey there, it's David H. Lawrence, the 17th with VO Heroes, and you may be watching VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS, because you're interested in becoming a voice talent, and you looked around the internet, you found that this was a great place to come, and you're absolutely right. But you don't have any of the knowledge yet as to how to get started, and I'd like to help you with that. I've got a free course online. You can take it anytime you want. It's called Getting Started in VoiceOver, and it walks you through the equipment you need, the business side of things, the actual categories of VoiceOver work that you'll likely be pursuing, and also the mindset that you need to have when you're getting started and moving into being successful at doing voiceover for a career. So if you're an actor or you're not an actor, you want a side grade from another business, you want to learn about voiceover, go to voheroes.com/start. That's voheroes.com/start for the VO Heroes Getting Started in Voiceover class. And I'll see you there.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. Voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Alazraki, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
My goodness, lots of stuff to talk about. You and I could probably go on forever.
I know, it's
things.
Like looking at the clock, and I was like, oh my God, we haven't even gotten through the questions yet, but that's how it goes. So we get everybody to come back next time.
That's right. Yeah, we got like three more other questions that we'd love to answer them. We will get to them next time. In the meantime, you can also write to us during the week at theguys@vobs.tv. And, we get a question every now and again, and George and I will put our heads together and go, check your settings.
When in doubt, reboot.
Absolutely. Let's see, who are our donors this week?
Oh, boy. I'm going to read them right this time.
Yes, you are.
No mistakes.
None.
Philip Sapir, Thomas Pinto, Shelley Avellino, Natasha Verchevko, Brian Page, George A. Whittem, my dad, Patty Givens, Rob Ryder, Greg Thomas, Antland Productions, Shauna Pennington Baird, Martha Kahn, and Don Griffith. You might know those names because we've read them many, many times, and that's because they are subscribers.
Yeah.
So not only can you make a one-time donation, you can actually choose to pay repeatedly, and as little as a dollar, if you like. So
it helps.
Appreciate it.
Makes our show more technically amazing. Next week on this show, another great guest. I know on May 3rd, somebody that Kevin Gershan mentioned last week, Neil Ross, will be with us.
Oh, wow.
Well-known voice actor, and he's got a book out, so we'll be talking with him.
Okay.
Let's see. We need to thank our sponsors, too, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com. And
JMC Demos.
Thanks to Jeff Holman for getting our questions out of the Facebook.
Thanks, Jeff.
And Danny Burnside for all your help on Clubhouse. Love having Clubhouse. Loves live streaming with simulcasting with Clubhouse. We get these live questions at work.
It's been really cool.
It is. Our amazing technical director who she got vaccinated, but she was still here even though she feels like crap. Sue Merlino.
Aww.
She can do it in her sleep. And Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. You know, when it comes to your home voiceover studio audio, if it sounds good,
well, it is good.
All righty. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next time. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO. BS. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk.